My name is Isaac Elnicovay of the Midwest Energy Efficiency Alliance. And today I want to be talking about, I'm going to be the, if you will, the fourth leg of the stool, talking about code adoption and implementation at the state level. And what I wanted to talk about and how I wanted to flow this, how I wanted this to flow is that Jim kind of talked about the technical development of codes a little bit. Carolyn did talk about a little bit about the policy, and I want to talk more about the fun part, which is the politics of this. And how do the codes actually get adopted and how do they get implemented, with an eye on how ASHRAE and ASHRAE membership can really be an important aspect of this. And it's commercial energy code development, and I want to actually, I usually talk about ASHRAE in terms of commercial energy development, and that will stay that way for a while, but obviously ASHRAE is developing standard 90.2, so ASHRAE may very well be working in the residential side in the near future. So here's my plan. We'll move on. MEA's role in the Midwest. Basically, we cover a 13-state region. I like to say it goes from North Dakota down to Kentucky, Michigan down to Kansas. It is an extremely diverse region, culturally, politically, policy-wise, climactically, discussing stuff in Springfield, Missouri, which I'm doing right now, is quite a bit different from the discussions I'm having in Minneapolis, Minnesota. So it requires a very broad view of things. The key advocacy areas that I usually think about is adoption and implementation of the Commercial Energy Code. Once that goes through, you have to really think about working with code enforcement officials, utilities, architects, engineers, and all the other stakeholders. And in all of this, information is kind of the coin of the realm. People need experience and information on the codes, how they're implemented, how they're built, how you build to meeting the code. Really, that's where a lot of our work is based, and a lot of where things either work well or work poorly. I talk to a lot of code officials, and they have a fairly good idea, but not a really complete idea of energy codes. So mistakes are made. The same thing goes with architects. The same thing goes with engineers. Home builders, the same. So really, that third bullet is where you really want to think through the ASHRAE's participation in the process. Now, state code development process, and I want to talk a little bit about this. There's two ways that this happens. One is legislative, one is administrative. The legislative, although that is what I think a lot of people view the code adoption process and the advocacy process, in some ways, this is kind of the lesser of the two. In terms of legislative actions, you have the enabling legislation that sets codes. It sets parameters, such as the update cycle, 3, 5, 6 years. It also sets the administrative process for basically updating the code. That's where a lot of the action occurs. It can be set up to use model codes and standards, and a lot of discussions, usually in legislative work, revolves around whether you're going to be using the IECC, the other I-codes, ASHRAE 90.1, and that's a very important thing to pay attention to as to what essentially the constraints that the legislative process puts on the administrative process. The legislative process is also very important in that you can think about it this way: it can include either obstacles or criteria that you need to have involved. For example, cost effectiveness limits. There's a number of states. I could say Michigan, for example, says that any new code requirement has to have a 7-year payback period. That's quite a strong constraint. There's also kind of a cycle. It starts with the legislative, then you have this administrative effort, and then often at the end of the administrative effort, because they have to be involved in everything, the legislators have to get back into it. There's often legislative review, and the legislators and the legislative review can often take years of work by the administrative process and basically throw it away. So it's a lot. There's a lot to be thinking about. I think you need to know the legislative lay of the land before you get started, or as you're doing it, or somebody needs to be familiar with it, know all of the obstacles and all of the constraints that happen. There's often bills that are put in, but these are kind of the legislative. These are the ways that the legislation and laws can both promote codes, in other words, set up the model codes, and can include obstacles. It's important to know all of these, because these set the process for the administrative process. So the administrative process is in, for example, in the Midwest, every state but Nebraska goes through an administrative process to update the code. Nebraska is the one state where you actually have to pass legislation to get a new code, which, let me tell you, is a joy. But typically, you have an administrative process, and it really forms on, you have establishment of committees, usually a stakeholder process, and it's often, and it can be either advisory or actually rulemaking. Now, here's a point that I don't think I can emphasize enough. A lot of people talk about being involved in the public comment period when you see a draft code put out, and you have a public hearing and a comment process, and a lot of people like to write really beautiful, well-written, very well-researched, detailed comments. By the time you are writing comments on the draft code, it is way, way too late to have a real meaningful influence on what happens. Where you need to be is in that first one, the establishment of the committees, where you actually developed the draft codes. And that's how you have to kind of, as if you're thinking about being really effective in the advocacy world, that's where the action is, where you have the meetings with the technical meetings, the policy meetings, discussing what the draft codes will be. Once you are writing comments, I mean, I've written comments, I've stood up, I've given my comments, I've had the people on the rulemaking committee sit there, nod gravely, ask me very, very good questions, and then proceed to completely ignore what I've said. On the other hand, when I'm in the advisory committee and raising my hand every 15 minutes and driving them nuts, they actually end up listening to me, at least a little. The other part of administrative work, and it's something that is important, is the legislative executive legal review. Even after it's been through the administrative process, even after the department, whichever agency is responsible for raising the code, it often will have to go through legislative review, executive review by the governor's staff, and legal review for legal issues. So those are things that have to be thought through as you're working in the administrative process. Let me go back here. So when you're talking about the things that I think the ASHRAE members, these are some of the issues that are really hashed out at the administrative, and these are some of the things that I think ASHRAE membership really brings to it. There's a lot of discussion on cost effectiveness, material availability, increased cost. And I put those two, and I mentioned cost effectiveness and increased cost. People who don't want codes moving forward will inevitably talk about increased in cost and first cost and forget the cost effectiveness part. It is really important to make sure that the discussion always talks about cost effectiveness. We talk about energy savings, technical expertise, and that's, again, a really, really important thing. You know, particularly on the commercial code, there are a lot of requirements that are very, very specialized. I'm a civil structural engineer, so I can talk about the envelope all day long. Ask me to talk about VAV boxes, and I'm just going to give you a blank stare. So it's important to have people who have a lot of technical expertise, because one of the things that happens is that the committees get bogged down on details and on what is this? What are the effects? What are the problems? What are the unforeseen circumstances? It's really important to bring technical expertise to this. Other things that are really key is the training of new standards. And I think ASHRAE membership should be very much involved in developing, in being part of the whatever training regime or protocols get developed. Again, these are the engineers are really the people who most know how to build to this, how to design and build to these things. Code officials really don't. So it's important to have them there. So I was asked to talk a little bit about state influence. State agencies are key in moving the code. A lot of the real action on code movement is you get model codes, as Jim discussed, but if you want to really get codes, if you want codes to really affect construction, they've got to be implemented at the state level. So some things that the states really are looking for, and this again is that state agencies are interested in what happens in surrounding states, particularly in the Northeast, but certainly in the Midwest, right? If I'm in the Illinois process, I'm constantly being asked what Indiana's doing, or what Missouri is doing, or what Wisconsin is doing, because states are often hesitant to act first. One of the things that we try to do, and what I would like, what I'm really trying to get ASHRAE from the MIA perspective involved in, is we have formed regional calls, quarterly teleconferences, for example, that incorporate a lot of the state agencies, and a number of the folks from the American Institute of Architects, the AIA, are involved in this. Code officials are involved, utilities are involved, and I would like to get ASHRAE people involved from the various Midwest states involved in this. Some of the key states that I have seen ASHRAE really be involved in. Right now, for example, Minnesota is involved in a code update. They will be the third state to adopt the 2012. I'm going to have to put a plug in for the Midwest, because Illinois was the second state that has adopted the 2012 and ASHRAE 90.1 2010. But Minnesota is looking to be third. And one of the things that is happening in the Minnesota process is that there is work being done to try to understand by the advisory committee the difference between the commercial chapter of the IECC and ASHRAE 90.1 2010. And the committee is really kind of a little bit lost on that. And so we've tried to help, but there is in fact an ASHRAE member who is in that committee, but he's actually representing BOMA. He's not necessarily representing ASHRAE. And so it's very important, it's this sort of thing where your technical expertise really can move the process forward. Other states, Illinois, which has just adopted the 2010, and I'll talk about Wisconsin. Wisconsin actually had an ASHRAE member. ASHRAE members did testify as when they were talking, when they were discussing the adoption of ASHRAE 90.1 2007. And again, I want to say that the ASHRAE member who testified in Wisconsin, and I was at this hearing, got the most questions back from the committee. I gave my presentation, and they nodded gravely and wished me well. The ASHRAE member was actually looked upon as a source of technical expertise. And because he was able to answer the questions very, very pointedly and accurately, helped move the process along. When you're talking about the advocacy process, these are a lot of the stakeholders that you have to be thinking through, that you have to be talking about. So there's developers, there are home builders, and I'm talking about in the commercial process, because the commercial code does cover multifamily. Architects, engineers, lighting designers, industry representatives, utilities, green builders, commissioning agents, facilities managers. So, if you notice, there is a very, very strong position for where ASHRAE membership can fit in. And a lot of these other players have some specialized understanding, but very few of them are going to have a very deep understanding of, for example, mechanical processes, lighting design, and very few of them, I guarantee you, because I've seen this over and over again, many are going to have a particularly good conception of the actual standard itself. They're not going to really know how the standard was developed, what is the rationale behind the standards, and what is the data that brought and the cost effectiveness that that the standard took as criteria. So these are the stakeholders, but keep in mind that ASHRAE has a very strong position. Finally, I'm going to just talk about these are the issues that we really talk about: our cost, complexity of the energy code. Many people, it's hard to follow the commercial code. Really, an understanding of building science and buildability is what I know that's not a real word, but I use it anyways. I have a 6-year-old who makes up words all the time, so I feel I should be able to. The ability to actually construct to the code, which is not an issue that's often brought up and that needs to be covered. I'm just going to move on final thoughts. Again, this is some of the things that ASHRAE can really bring to the table, and I think it has, and in some states it's brought it very effectively. I'm happy to answer any questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you.